Chapter 9, Return to Evans Mills. At this time I was earnestly pressed to remain at Evans Mills, and finally gave them encouragement that I would abide with them at least 1 year. Being engaged to Mary, I went from there to Whitestown, Oneida County, and was married in October 1824. My wife had made preparations for housekeeping, and a day or two after our marriage I left her and returned to Evans Mills to obtain conveyance to transport our goods to that place. I told her that she might expect me back in about a week. The fall previous to this, I had preached a few times in the evening at a place called Perch River, still farther northwest from Evans Mills, about a dozen miles. I spent one Sabbath at Evans Mills and intended to return for my wife about the middle of that week. But a messenger from Perch River came up that Sabbath and said there had been a revival working its way slowly among the people ever since I preached there, and he begged me to go down and preach there at least once more. I finally sent an appointment to be there Tuesday night. But I found the interest so deep that I stayed and preached Wednesday night and Thursday night, and I finally gave up returning that week for my wife and continued to preach in that neighborhood. The revival soon spread in the direction of Brownville, a considerable village several miles, I think, in a southwestern direction from that place. Finally, under the pressing invitation of the minister and church at Brownville, I went there and spent the winter, having written my wife that such were the circumstances that I must defer coming for her until God seemed to open the way. At Brownville there was a very interesting work. But still, the church was in such a state that it was very difficult to get them into the work. I could not find much that seemed to me to be sound-hearted piety, and the policy of the minister was really such as to forbid anything like a general sweep of revival. I labored there that winter with great pain and had many serious obstacles to overcome. Sometimes I would find that the minister and his wife were away from our meetings and would learn afterwards that they had stayed away to attend a party. I was the guest at that place of a Mr. B., one of the elders of the church, and the most intimate and influential friend of the minister. One day as I came down from my room and was going out to call on some inquirers, I met Mr. B. in the hall, and he said to me, "Mr. Finney, what should you think of a man that was praying week after week for the Holy Spirit and could get no answer?" I replied that I should think he was praying from false motives. "But from what motives," said he, "should a man pray? If he wants to be happy, is that a false motive?" I replied, "Satan might pray with as good a motive as that," and then quoted the words of the psalmist, "Uphold me with thy free spirit, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." "See," said I, "the psalmist did not pray for the Holy Spirit that he might be happy, but that he might be useful, and that sinners might be converted to Christ." I said this, and turned and went immediately out, and he turned very short and went back into his room. I remained out till dinner time, and when I returned, he met me and immediately began to confess. "Mr. Finney," said he, "I owe you a confession. I was angry when you said that to me, and I must confess that I hoped I should never see you again. When you said," he continued, "forced the conviction upon me that I never had been converted, that I never had had any higher motive than a mere selfish desire for my own happiness. I went away," said he, "after you left the house, and prayed to God to take my life. I could not endure to have it known that I had always been deceived. I have been most intimate with our minister. I have journeyed with him, and slept with him, and conversed with him, and have been more intimate with him than any other member of the church. And yet I saw that I had always been a deceived hypocrite. The mortification was intolerable, and," said he, "I wanted to die, and prayed the Lord to take my life." However, he was all broken down then, and from that time became a new man. That conversion did a great deal of good. I might relate many other interesting facts connected with this revival, but as there were so many things that pained me in regard to the relation of the pastor to it, and especially of the pastor's wife, I will forbear. Early in the spring, 1825, I left Brownville with my horse and cutter to go after my wife. I had been absent 6 months since our marriage, and as mails then were between us, we had seldom been able to exchange letters. I drove on some 15 miles, and the roads were very slippery. My horse was smooth-shod, and I found I must have his shoes reset. I stopped at Larayville, a small village about 3 miles south of Evans Mills. While my horse was being shod, the people, finding that I was there, ran to me and wanted to know if I would not preach at 1 o'clock in the schoolhouse, for they had no meeting house. At 1 o'clock the house was packed, and while I preached, the Spirit of God came down with great power upon the people. So great and manifest was the outpouring of the Spirit that in compliance with their earnest entreaty I concluded to spend the night there and preach again in the evening. But the work increased more and more, and in the evening I appointed another meeting in the morning, and in the morning I appointed another in the evening, and soon I saw that I should not be able to go any farther after my wife. I told a brother that if he would take my horse and cutter and go after my wife, I would remain. He did so, and I went on preaching from day to day and from night to night, and there was a powerful revival. I should have said that while I was in Brownsville, God revealed to me all at once in a most unexpected manner the fact that he was going to pour out his Spirit at Gouverneur, and that I must go there and preach. Of the place, I knew absolutely nothing, except that in that town there was so much opposition manifested to the revival in Antwerp the year before. I can never tell how or why the Spirit of God made that revelation to me. But I knew then, and I have no doubt now, that it was a direct revelation from God to me. I had not thought of the place that I know of for months. But in prayer the thing was all shown to me, as clear as light, that I must go and preach in Gouverneur, and that God would pour out his Spirit there. Very soon after this, I saw one of the members of the church from Gouverneur who was passing through Brownville. I told him what God had revealed to me. He stared at me as if he supposed that I was insane, but I charged him to go home and tell the brethren what I said, that they might prepare themselves for my coming and for the outpouring of the Lord's Spirit. From him I learned that they had no minister, that there were 2 churches and 2 meeting houses in the town standing near together, that the Baptists had a minister and the Presbyterians no minister, that an elderly minister lived there who had formerly been their pastor, but had been dismissed, and that they were having, in the Presbyterian church, no regular Sabbath services. From what he said, I gathered that religion was in a very low state, and he himself was as cold as an iceberg. But now I return to my labors at Larayville. After laboring there a few weeks, the great mass of the inhabitants were converted, and among the rest, Judge C., a man in point of influence, standing head and shoulders above all the people around him. My wife arrived, of course, a few days after I sent for her, and we accepted the invitation of Judge C. and his wife to become their guests. But after a few weeks, the people urged me to go and preach in a Baptist church in the town of Rutland, where Rutland joins Luray. I made an appointment to preach there one afternoon. The weather had become warm, and I walked over through a pine grove about 3 miles to their place of worship. I arrived early and found the house open, but nobody there. I was warm from having walked so far, and went in and took my seat near the broad aisle in the center of the house. Very soon people began to come in and take their seats here and there scattered over the house. Soon the number increased so that they were coming continually. I sat still, and being an entire stranger there, no person came in that I knew, and I presume that no person that came in knew me. Presently a young woman came in who had 2 or 3 tall plumes in her bonnet, and was rather gaily dressed. She was slender, tall, dignified, and decidedly handsome. I observed, as soon as she came in, that she waved her head and gave a very graceful motion to her plumes. She came, as it were, sailing around and up the broad aisle toward where I sat, mincing as she came at every step, waving her great plumes most gracefully, looking around just enough to see the impression she was making. For such a place, the whole thing was so peculiar that it struck me very much. She entered a slip directly behind me, in which, at the time, nobody was sitting. Thus, we were near together, but each occupying a separate slip. I turned partly around and looked at her from head to foot. She saw that I was observing her critically, and looked a little abashed. In a low voice, I said to her very earnestly, Did you come in here to divide the worship of God's house, to make people worship you, to get their attention away from God and His worship? This made her writhe, and I followed her up in a voice so low that nobody else heard me, but I made her hear me distinctly. She quailed under the rebuke and could not hold up her head. She began to tremble, and when I said enough to fasten the thought of her insufferable vanity on her mind, I arose and went into the pulpit. As soon as she saw me go into the pulpit, and that I was the minister that was about to preach, her agitation began to increase, so much so as to attract the attention of those around her. The house was soon full, and I took a text and went on to preach. The Spirit of the Lord was evidently poured out on the congregation, and at the close of the sermon I did what I do not know I had ever done before, called upon any who would give their hearts to God to come forward and take the front seat. The moment I made the call, this young woman was the first to arise. She burst out into the aisle and came forward like a person in a state of desperation. She seemed to have lost all sense of the presence of anybody but God. She came rushing forward to the front seats until she finally fell in the aisle and shrieked with agony. A large number arose in different parts of the house and came forward, and a goodly number appeared to give their hearts to God upon the spot, and among them this young woman. On inquiry, I found that she was rather the belle of the place, that she was an agreeable girl, but was regarded by everybody as very vain and dressy. Many years afterwards, I saw a man who called my attention to that meeting. I inquired after this young woman. He informed me that he knew her well, that she still resided there, was married, and was a very useful woman, and had always, from that time, been a very earnest Christian. I preached a few times at this place, and then the question of Gouverneur came up again, and God seemed to say to me, "Go to Gouverneur, the time has come." Brother Nash had come a few days before this and was spending some time with me at the time of this last call to Gouverneur. I had some two or three appointments ahead in that part of Rutland. I said therefore to Brother Nash, "You must go to Gouverneur and see what is there and come back and make your report." He started the next morning, and after he had gone 2 or 3 days, returned saying that he had found a good many professors of religion under considerable exercise of mind, and that he was confident that there was a good deal of the Spirit of the Lord among the people, but that they were not aware what the state of things really was. I then informed the people where I was preaching that I was called to Gouverneur and could make no more appointments to preach in that place. I requested Brother Nash to return immediately, informing the people that they might expect me on a certain day that week.